You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California leads the country in manufacturing, from aerospace, transportation, food and beverage, motor and zero emission vehicles, as well as computers and electronics. This industry touches many parts of our lives and employs over 1 million Californians. But many of these sectors within manufacturing have long lacked representation of women, especially in leadership positions. So today, we're going to highlight women who are part of California's manufacturing industry. Christine Policarp is co-owner of La Torangeli Artisan Cooking Oils, based in Woodland in Yolo County. For the past 20 years, they have produced high-quality small-batch oils from olive oil to avocado, pistachio, walnut, and hazelnut oils, and that's just a few of the many that they produce. And we're also joined by Jacqueline Colvis, who is the project management team lead at Siemens Mobility, which transforms transportation across the state from passenger and freight rail, with projects that include SACRT right here in the city, as well as being on the short list for California's ambitious, lengthy, and ongoing high-speed rail project. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for having us.
We're going to go from rail to artisan cooking oils. I love it. Okay, Jacqueline, I wanted to start with you. What got you interested in rail?
Yeah, so what really got me interested in rail is it happened to be a growth opportunity. So I started with Siemens on the energy side, which is also heavily technical and male-dominated, and I was looking for a growth opportunity, and the rail industry actually offered that. So I came over into the rail industry on the supply chain side. I've also been able now to grow experience on the customer-facing side, learning more about the rail and the customer expectations, and now I am a project management team lead. One of the exciting aspects of rail I've learned is that there's never ending to learning. So for me, it's just continuous learning and all the excitement that's happening here in rail.
You know, people may not know how Siemens Mobility touches our daily lives. Can you help us visualize it?
Sure. So somebody actually once told me, if you visualize a piece of sheet metal and then we transform it into a train that you see running on the side of 80. So if you think of Amtrak locomotives, like you mentioned, SACRT rail. So it's starts literally as a piece of sheet metal, and then it turns into this transformative vehicle, which now carries passengers to get to point A to B, whether it's work, a social event, or just to kind of roam around downtown.
Yeah, there's a large network here in California, and obviously interstate as well.
Correct. Yes.
So the CEO of Siemens, I was reading an article that they wrote, and it was focusing on just the need to have more women in their company, saying that women now make up more than 50% of transit passengers, but less than 15% of transportation workers across the U.S. So that's just a little over 1 in 10. Why do you think women have been underrepresented in this industry?
Personally, I think historically, it's funny, we were just talking about it out there, people just visualize manufacturing as a dirty, getting into turning wrenches and kind of working out on the shop floor. But really, to bring people more aware, it's more than that, right? So manufacturing doesn't necessarily, like myself, I'm not the person on the shop floor building the vehicle, but I'm, also an important role that makes manufacturing process happen. So you need also those people that interface between the customer, but also internally to ensure that the communication from the customer's needs and expectations gets communicated to the people on the shop floor so that they know what they're building as to what the customer expectations are. So I think just historically, it's more of just the mindset of the assumptions of what it was. And now I would say over the past 5 to 6 years, the way that everything has been growing, and especially in the transportation industry, there's more to it than just turning a wrench on the shop floor.
Yeah, I was even surprised to find there's an Advancing Women in Transportation conference.
Yes.
And it was in Seattle. So there's an awareness that a disparity exists, and they're working to solve and curb that disparity. You know, in that same article, the CEO added that over the past 5 years, they have focused on recruiting more women into traditionally male-dominated transportation roles, like project management, which is what you do. So what projects do you work on?
So projects like you just mentioned, SACRT, so our projects cover all of North America and Canada. And some of the things that I think have really drawn in more women into something like a project management role is the involvement in the Women in Transportation, or even like California Manufacturing Technology Association, getting involved in these different groups and associations. But also internally, we also have made awareness of employee resource groups that focus on women in manufacturing and how important important it is to network, but also have your allies as well. So yeah, that would be, you know, some things specifically that we've kind of been working towards to make awareness.
And even recently, you were recognized by your industry as a rising star in rail. So where would you like to see rail grow?
I would like rail to grow as we have been progressing, but maybe even at a faster pace. For me, you know, just the past 5 years, we've now shown an initiative to get women more in the forefront. And I think if we continue down this path by supporting one another, right, asking the questions and continue with the awareness, but also being kind of innovative within the community, the local colleges, right, and making just more people aware, I think we still have quite some ways to go. But I do truly believe that we're heading in the right direction. And, you know, the little things along the way at the end are also what make the big difference.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about the optics and how, you know, there are misconceptions of what manufacturing is, I mean, just you existing at Siemens, you know, that is opens the door, just lets people know that there's opens their awareness that, you know, it isn't what we might think it is. It
Correct.
Goes beyond stereotypes.
Exactly. Yep. And I think that's just getting the message out there so that people are aware of all the different types of opportunities within the manufacturing world really helps. And hopefully that will help attract more women in this industry.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're highlighting women in California's manufacturing industry with a wide variety of sectors that touch many parts of our lives. So now we're going to move from rail to artisan cooking oils. And I want to bring in Christine with La Tornjelli in Woodland. What brought you to Yolo County? You just celebrated your 20th year last year.
Yeah, we are. I arrived like 20 years ago with my husband from France. So La Tourangelle is a family business that exists for 150 years, even a little bit more in France. And we came 20 years ago with my husband to develop the business in the U.S. because California is the main producer of walnut, almond, and pistachio. And the core of our business is doing like walnut oil. It's how we're starting. And it's a tradition way to do it in France. And so we came here to be like at the source of the fruits, to be able to produce like a high quality cooking oil from like nuts from California.
I was going to ask you, how did you get into pressing olive and nut oils? But it seems like it goes way back for you and your family.
Yeah, it's family. It's my husband's family, but so my husband is more the family is more the driving force. But I really enjoy to create and to be like the one of the creative force for the cooking oil in California.
Now that it's been 2 decades, you've been in Woodland. I know. I would imagine it can be. Maybe there's some similarities, but also different to France. You know, what do you love about Woodland? This has become your home.
Yeah. First, when we arrived with my husband, with our 4 like iron cast cattle to produce walnut oil, we arrived with a lot of hope and innocence. We were like 23 years old and said, let's go to conquer the U.S. market. So that was a bet. That was a challenge. And then we arrived in California. So at first we felt in love with the outdoor. We are like very outdoor person. So all the landscape of California and the sport we can do here, like knock us. And then Woodland is a charming like city in the middle of like agriculture, like geography. And with people that has like that have like very big heart and want to share. And what we love is the curiosity of people here, where they are not afraid to test anything, and even one at all when they didn't know that. And from this, we have like a larger like a portfolio of cooking oil, because people in California are like very curious about food, and so they love food. And that's what we love here.
What makes your oils unique? Can you kind of walk us through the process?
Yeah, the uniqueness of our oil. So when we arrived, there was a lot of almond oil and that was refined oil. So meaning that you don't have any taste on it. You lost the taste of the fruit because you clean it to be like more like for cosmetic like use. And so we arrive with our French like know-how to preserve the taste of the oil. And it's just like a toasting process before like pressing the oil. And so each of our nut oil that are produced in Woodland near Sacramento are like with a bright taste. That's what makes the main difference of our oil.
Where can people find your oils? Because you do sell them in stores. Yeah. I've seen it at Save Mart.
Yeah, you have Save Mart, you have Safeway, you have Whole Foods, you have Nuggets, Rallies. You can find them like on all the supermarket. It's a tin can with a colorful label and a castle as a logo with a weird name like La Tourangelle. So, yeah, and so on the supermarket, and then you can, the very specific one, you can find them on our website, latourangelle.com.
You mentioned a tin can. Why is that an intentional choice versus, you know, a glass bottle?
Yeah, because it's preserved much more, the oil, because you have the protection from the light. And so it's first because of the oil, the protection of the oil. And then tin can is much lighter than glass. So we thought that for the environment, it's better. Because, and third, you can recycle the tin can like infinitely compared to glass.
Wow.
So it's a better packaging.
I've been looking at your portfolio and you mentioned some of the oils, but I mean, there's avocado, olive, basil, garlic, coconut, truffle, flaxseed, pecan, herb, peanut. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. How do you recommend people experience and play and use your oils? Because you even have recipes on the website. You can make a cocktail with it and use it for like beauty products as well.
Yeah, yeah. So the message is, let's be creative within your kitchen. And so usually people are using olive oil, maybe sometimes peanut oil or something, very bland, very like oiled without taste. And so it's like any like condiments, you can be like very, very creative with them. And you can use them like, it could be like simple as like a fillet of walnut oil on a piece of beef. So you don't have to be like super creative. It's just to add like a texture and a taste. And then you can create sauce based on like different like cooking oil with like this bright taste. And then it will add something like some complexity in your recipe.
Yeah, I see. I mean, there's just a lot of personality there, you know, and there's a wide range. And the fact that you've been able to grow so much over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you came here with your husband when you were 23 years old. You had a good amount of naiveness and a lot of drive. Why do you think you all have been so successful over the last two decades?
Personally, I think it's because we have strong value. And so that we want to do like high quality oil because it was kind of a tradition where we come from, and but then we wanted also like very quickly to have an impact on our like communities around. And so I think when you start a business and you run a business and you have like strong value, and it helps. Mm-hmm. It helps because you have like some authenticity on your message. That helps.
And that's even evolved. Now you have a foundation, La Tourangelle Foundation. What does this add to your family's mission?
So the purpose of our business was really to produce like high quality oil. And from this purpose, the purpose changed over the year of the life of a company. And specifically during the pandemic, we realized that almost 25% of people were in food insecurity. So we wanted to really have like something done for those people. And so one of our messages was like healthy eating. And healthy eating for some people could be like just have like some food in your plate. So we wanted to have like healthy eating for everybody, really everybody. So we start like a foundation where we have like a community garden where we grow produce that we distribute to the food bank, and we work with a YOLO Farm to Fork, a fantastic nonprofit in Woodland that work in YOLO County and that create and keep the school garden alive, and that create workshop for nutrition and to learn the kids how to grow food. And so we have like this strong partnership with the YOLO Farm to Fork to have an impact on better habits for the kids within like Woodland and Yolo County.
Yeah, so there's an education component for younger generations, also donating to the food banks as well for people who are food insecure. You also have a passion for regenerative farming. Yeah. For people who don't really know what that is, can you explain it?
It's like simple practices in agriculture, or like principle that you can apply. So obviously you have like the basic of organic, no pesticide, no insecticide, but you also have like introduce some like animal manure. You don't have to till, and the goal is to have like a better captation of the CO2 within the soil, and to also work on a better soil. And it's really something important to develop here, and especially in Woodland where we are working, it's an agriculture like land, to raise your awareness that we really need to work on our soil for them to be healthier. And for that, we need to use like some practices.
And your company is the first regenerative organic certified California oil maker with your sunflower oil.
Yeah. We are very proud of this.
You should be.
Yeah, and we try to really develop like other oil with a regenerative like sense. It's sometimes difficult because we still have like small volume on those, so it's difficult to find like someone that can like have like these practices because you have like extra cost. But we really our intention is really to develop the regenerative agriculture and to work with regenerative farmers.
Mm. Well, finally, as we wind down this conversation, I mean, both of you have charted your path in fields that, you know, are far from guaranteed to be successful. They're successful because you charted this path and you have that drive and determination. What advice have you received over your careers over the years that have stuck with you and kind of keeps you doing what you're doing? Jacqueline?
Some advice that I was given over, I would say, my career is always ask questions. Don't be intimidated. And also do the tasks that no one wants to do. Because at the end of the day, all the small things I think I mentioned before, they don't ever go unnoticed. And I think a lot of time people think they do. But also just, I've also learned along the way, a small as much as a thank you also goes a long way for employee empowerment, right? And things like that. So if it's one thing to take away about women in manufacturing, I would say that we have come a long way the past few years in such a male-dominated industry, but we're not done yet. Our female leaders are redefining tomorrow, and we're helping pave the way for the next generation of women in manufacturing.
How about you, Christine? I mean, there was no roadmap. You came here to California, and you and your family built a really successful company, and you're part of the Woodland community. I'm sure you've had some advice over the years.
I think the best advice was go with your own rhythm.
I love that.
Don't try to fit in the rhythm of someone if it doesn't fit your rhythm. And be like trustful in your rhythm. Just go step by step. And I think it was the best advice because sometimes I was like overwhelming. And just I learned to go with my own rhythm.
I love that. Well, Christine and Jacqueline, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Vicky.
Love talking with you. Christine Policarp is the co-owner of La Torangeli Artisan Cooking Oils, based in Woodland in Yolo County. Jacqueline Colvis is the project management team lead at Siemens Mobility. Siemens transforms transportation across the state with passenger and freight rail, like projects like SACRT here in the city. And they're talking to us about their role in California's manufacturing industry. Still ahead, a Sacramento High School sophomore has started a new charitable organization to provide free dresses and dance tickets to teen refugees. We'll learn more about her organization, Redressed. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.